our subject today, die to live. Die to live. With Jesus, a new stage he was now launching in his ministry. And we can tell that because of the words it says, from that time forth. What he was doing was making it more plainly than ever before, without reserve. Christ was revealing that he was and is the Son of the living God. And because of what was going to happen to him, he was revealing to them that the Son of the living God was going to be killed and raised again from the dead. Never before had so a phenomenon of an event happened to an individual, and it never would happen again. History would be made at Jerusalem. Jerusalem that killed the prophets was going to commit the ultimate crime. They were going to kill God's own son. Christ had already been telling his disciples about his death and resurrection for some time. But they had not understood. And there were some reasons why they did not understand it, because the idea of a suffering Messiah was far from what they were believing. The revelation had been hidden from them because of the pictures and the symbols that Christ had used. Now, however, there was a significant switch in how Jesus went about preparing his disciples for his death. The difference was that Christ no longer spoke in pictures and symbols. He now taught them simple and plainly in words. The new stage in the revelation of God's plan for the world was now taking place. God's Son was to die and be raised again for the sin of the world. God's plan for saving the world was now taking place through the suffering Messiah, not a conquering Messiah. God's Messiah was not going to deliver a materialistic world into the hands of his followers. God's Messiah was going to die through the death that he was going to present. He was going to usher in the kingdom of God, and he made it possible for his followers to live eternally in the presence of God himself. The disciples now understood more fully that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They had taken a great leap forward in their understanding of his nature. Brothers and sisters, and that's where we need to be. We need to get an understanding that everything is not going to be a bed of roses. And you need to understand that if you're going to cut roses, there are some thorns in the roses, and they're going to stick you. If you're going to walk with Jesus Christ, there's going to be some suffering on this road. Yes, Lord. But he can get you through it. Yes. Point number one, Jesus' death required total commitment on his part. Not on the disciples' part, but on Jesus' part. Jesus' death was necessary. He must go to Jerusalem to suffer. The words "must go" are strong and constrained, and they are in an imperative, more or less a command. A necessity was laid upon Christ. He had no choice. His death and resurrection had been planned and willed by God through all of eternity. The prophets had predicted it. He must fulfill the will of God, for God had ordained his death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was also necessary. Jesus predicted his resurrection. Prediction of his resurrection is clear to us because we can look back upon it. But be the disciples, it was something that was never clear to them. Very simply, it was a new experience. Brothers and sisters, that's what it is when you decide to follow Jesus Christ.
It's something that seems hard in our carnal mind to believe that all the sin that we have committed just because we repent and change our mind and decide to follow Jesus, he's going to forgive us. Because we make the mistake and we look at him as if we look at another one of our brothers or our sisters. Not so. He's the Son of God. And he died so you can live. That's the gist of the message. Death. Die, something has to die if something else is going to live. Christ died for our sin so we would have a right to the tree of life. The apostles believed somewhat like Martha. You know Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who said, yes, I believe in the resurrection in the days to come. Jesus said, I am not going to be, not was, I am now. I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, you shall see these things. Brothers and sisters, and Christ can resurrect you in your life. If you surrender it totally to him and forget about yourself and everything and everybody around you and surrender your life to him and ask for forgiveness of your sin and mean it from your heart. Don't be trying to fool him or get something just for the day. Look for something eternally. And that's where Martha was. She was looking at right now, but believing it's going to happen down the road. No, Christ can resurrect you now in your life because all you have to do is ask from the depths of your heart for forgiveness of your sin, and Christ can do it. Now you can tell me or somebody else that you want forgiveness and not mean it, and we'll believe you. But if you ask for your forgiveness from Christ and you don't mean it, hey, you know, you gonna know. Amen. Don't think that you can fool God. Yes, there will. Martha knew that there would be a future resurrection of all men. Such a belief is an expression of hope that is within every man. The hope to continue on in some form of existence, because every man knows that he is an eternal being and that he will exist forever. But we just don't understand that we're going to exist somewhere. And the only thing that we have in mind is what we know. And that's the physical right now. And we will spend eternity someplace. Yes, right. Brothers and sisters, and they are not but two places. Two. Heaven or hell. No in between.
That's right.
I know comes to my mind an illustration of a story about where the man had a choice about where he was going. No, your choice is made now. While you walk around here on earth, after we would take you to cemetery or Live Oak or wherever we take you in your burial, it's over. You've decided while you walking around here where you want to spend eternity. You know, you can change addresses while you are walking around, but once they take you and put you in that box and put you in the ground, you can't change your address. It's either heaven or hell. And guess who have decided where you would spend that time? Wasn't your mama, your daddy, no politician, or nobody else. You decide where you spend eternity. Yes, some of us, our friends, our family, made a decision they're going to spend it in hell. And I said this before, and I just thought about it. I every time I think about it, I ask God to forgive me. Because I've told some people to go to hell. Yeah, I've told them that. And when I said it in my sinful state, I meant it. But I ask God to forgive me because I don't want them worst people I know to go to hell. But my not wanting them to go there won't stop them. They got to make the choice themselves, just like I did. So the actual resurrection of a dead person was inconceivable to those of us and those of them who have not been grounded in this teaching. Don't raise your hand. How many of us have said, when you're dead, you're done, so let the good time roll? No, when you're dead, it's not done. There is life after death.
And you're going to spend eternity someplace. Christ's death arose in the natural man. The natural man rebels against the cross. The natural man wants another way other than the cross.
That's why some people say there's another way to get to heaven. They don't want to have to get there through Jesus Christ because they got to go through the cross. Some people I've read about it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard say they've taken all facets of blood out of some hymn books. They don't want blood or nowhere around. Christianity is a bad thing. They talk about drinking blood, symbolism. Whenever they don't want something, don't like it, they want to kick it out. Yeah. I don't like the idea of Christ having to suffer and die for my sin, but I'll take it. I'm glad he did, because without him doing that, in hell I would be. And don't you look at me funny, you too. All of us would be there if Christ would not have shed his innocent blood for our sin. This is what Peter was doing. He was rebelling against Christ when he made the statement that he made. He was against the idea that God's Son was to die, that his blood had to be shed for the sin of the world. Peter could accept Jesus as the Son of the living God, but not as a suffering Savior. Such an idea was repulsive and unacceptable to him. Peter was out to stop the cross. Peter was out to stop the cross. He was urging Christ to be the Messiah of power, fame, and sensation whom the Jews were expecting. But such behavior is the way of the world. The world wants to do things in a glamorous sense, spectacular, do it. You know what Satan told him up on when he was in the temptation. Throw yourself down from the top of the temple and then save yourself, and you'll do something spectacular, and then you'll draw people to you. Christ, that's not the way he does things. Does it the way
that God have ordained for it to be? That's the behavior of the world. It is the natural and carnal mind. Man rebels against the idea of a suffering Savior, which had to die for the sin of the world. A Savior who demand the same sacrifice and denial from his followers. Brothers and sisters, if you don't want to die to live, you won't get saved. I know that towel seems like it's one of those figures of speech, and it is, because if you die to the things of this world, you're going to live in the world to come. You have to make up your mind that you are going to die to the world and live in the world to come. I'd rather know that I have prepared for the future than I had to worry about what's happening to me right now. Brothers and sisters, that's what you got to do. You got to have a prepare for your retirement. Most of you have, I think, what they call it, 401k, 301k or something, retirement fund. Most people have something like that. You're preparing for the future. Nobody here know for certain that you will be here at 12 o'clock. No, I'm sorry, it's after 12 now, at 1 o'clock. You don't know, but you are preparing for it. So if you're preparing for this physical world, help me, Holy Ghost, why don't you prepare for the world to come?
I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked. How can I prepare? Accept this Christ that died so you can live. They hung him on a cross, pierced him in his hand and in his feet and in his side, and blood and water came out, but yet he did not come down. He stayed there he's God.
Yes.
He's God. He could have spoke, and legions of angels would have come. But the songwriter said he didn't. Said he stayed there, and it said the nails didn't keep him there.
That's right.
It because of the love that he had for each one of us that were going to believe on him. Brothers and sisters, we got to die to live. Every believer, some part of them dies so that they can yet live with Christ. The sin that you would commit, you do not commit. You allow those sins to die in your life. You surrender yourself to Christ. You do without some stuff that you think you need, but because of helping somebody else, you sacrifice and you allow them to live better. You help somebody else. You die. You die to live. Well, marriage is just like serving Christ. You die to live. Some part of you. Deacon Brunson, help me out. My wife. That's why I call Deacon Brunson. Minister Allen gone. Some part of her have to die when it comes down to me. I like to wear white shirts. Yesterday morning I was going to go to 2 funerals or 3 funerals or something. I went to 2 yesterday. I didn't go to 3. I didn't make the 3rd. So Friday night, she says, and get this now. She says, you have to wear green, gray, blue or something. That was the shirt that I was supposed to wear yesterday. So the part of her had to die of the white shirts. And the part of me had to die because I had to wear the gray shirt. My live part would have been wearing a shirt this color. Because to me, if I wear a white shirt, it'll go with almost anything. So it doesn't matter what I put on. If I get me a white shirt and a tie that kind of resembles it, I'm good to go. But that part of her has to die because she says she get tired of ironing white shirts. You know, so part of some of us. Somewhere has to die. She got over the towel on the floor in the bathroom. She got over that one. I kind of got that one taken care of. I pick it up. But my point in saying something like this is that marriage is just like being surrendered to Christ. You have to surrender and give up. Something has to die. In order for you to live after this world, something in you have to die. The sins that's in your life, they have to die so you can live after this life is all over. And you do know that unless Christ come back in a hurry, you might not be alive when he come back. But if you have lived the way the word says for you to live, then when he comes, you got your ticket. You can get on board, and you won't be like Peter. The devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness to do sensational things and draw people to him, but he would not do it. all the world's glory will not save you. And this is what the devil tries to get the believers to do. If you want to cut the heart of Christ, pretend to be a believer. Temptations will come from some place that you least expected to. Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Here he is now in this passage of Scripture being tempted by one of his disciples. Brothers and sisters, your closest friend, your favorite sister, your favorite brother, your favorite child could be the one to tempt you to not die so you can live. Those closest to you sometimes are your worst enemies. So you have to know that and prepare for that. Don't y'all look at your kinfolks and all in here. Just keep looking at me. But my point in saying that is that we're more apt to believe that they have our best interests at heart. And sometimes their best interest on this event could not be for your benefit. Peter, at this time, Jesus called in the devil. Get behind me, Satan, for what you're saying is not the will of God. You want me to do things the way the world would have me to do them. And I need to do them the way that the Father have already ordained for me to do them. Jesus was going to do it what was the best way that he could do it. And sometimes the people that you think are helping you, they have a hidden agenda. Peter didn't want Jesus to leave. And I can understand that. But I must do the will of him that sent me. Jesus was God's ambassador to us. And he did not have a will. He had the will of the Father, and that's all he had. Point number two. Jesus' death demands total commitment of a man or a woman. A person must will to follow Christ. Will mean that you have to have a desire. You have to have a purpose. You have to be determined, and it has to be deliberately. You cannot accidentally serve God. You know, sometimes we have accidents, you have to intentionally make up your mind to serve God, to follow Christ. If you have really the will and the desire and choose to follow Christ, then you must do the things mentioned above about those things about will and desire and ambition, and your ambition need to be kicked to the curb. The choice is voluntary. It is made by the person, by you, by myself, by any other individual that decide to follow Christ. It is the individual who wills and chooses. A person must deny self. Deny means a disown, disregard, forsake, renounce, reject, restrain, disclaim, do without. Very simply stated, it is saying no to some behavior that we think we have to do. But a self person must deny themselves, and this means much more than just being negative. That is giving up something, doing without something. It means that we are to act positively and say yes to Christ. Yes to your will and to your way, to Christ, and no to self. A person must take up his or her cross daily and follow Christ. A prime example of that is Esther chapter 4, verse 16, where she said, she had told Haman to tell everybody else to fast for 3 days, and me and my maid's going to fast. She said, then I'm going to go and stand in front of the king. And in order to go in front of the king, you had to be invited. You didn't go in front of the king if you wasn't invited. So after she had fasted those days, she went and stood in front of the king. She stood at the door and the king sitting there looking up and saw. And unless he raised up his scepter, she couldn't come in. She was taking a chance and her head getting cut off. She said, I'm going because this is what I need to do. Somewhere in there said, for such a time as this was I born. And she went and stood at the door of the altar of the king. And the king looked up and saw, and he raised up his scepter. See, sometimes you got to make a decision. You got to be determined that you're going to serve God no matter what happens. No matter what happens, if it comes or if it goes, if I live or die, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the thing that God has put in my heart that I need to do, because for God I live and for God I die. And brothers and sisters, I truly believe that there's life after death, because by faith I believe in this word of God. Somebody asked me, have I ever seen him? I said, no, I haven't seen him, but I've seen the results of him. How you have seen the results of him? I said, I know about my own life. I know how he have changed me, and nobody else couldn't have changed me. They wouldn't have put up with me because of the things that I've done. But God allowed Jesus to die for the sins of the world and his blood. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that you shed on Calvary. It saved my soul. It went all the way down to a little town called Baker, and he saved my soul. Thank God for the blood of Calvary, where Jesus died for my sins and your sins. See, sometime you have to make a decision, and when you make a decision, you have to stand by the decision that you made. I believe that God wouldn't have anything to come my way that haven't gotten by him. He says it's all right. You can go ahead and try him, because he's standing on my word, and for God I live and for God I'll die. That's why sometime, brothers and sisters, you ought to be careful about what you say that you're going to do. The people may doubt what you say, but they'll believe what you do. You don't have to tell the devil and everybody else that you have forsaken them. You can show them better than you can tell them. Just get serving God and stay right there. Don't be a passive believer. Be an active believer, a passive believer. A lot of us are passive believers. We just come to church. We believe and we believe and we believe, but we're not active. We don't tell anybody about this God that we serve. We go to seminars. We come listen to messages, and we absorb all of this. But God can't give you anything else because you're so full of what he's already given you. You got to give it out. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. You got to stop being a natural man and become a spiritual man. And man is completely a man, and one, women too. You got to become an active one. Don't be just be passive. Understand, when you first come this way, you may be passive because you might not understand or know what you're doing. But after a while, by and by, you got to get to know that you got to leave first base because the ball have been hit and it got through the infield and it's on the ground. So you got to move because somebody else is coming to take first base. So you got to go to second base. So you got to move. You got to tell somebody about the saving grace of God. Point number three, and I think that's my last point. Jesus' death offers argument for total commitment. You got to have a total commitment. You can't be halfway. You can't halfway serve God. You got to surrender all of yourself. What's the song? Lord, I surrender all. And you do know that all includes everything. Some of us just want to surrender the thing that we don't like the most, but you got to surrender it all. You got to abandon this life to save yourself. It means when scripture says that a person saves his life by losing it and lose it by finding it, the key is the word. He says, for my sake, if you do what what you do for something else other than for the sake of Christ. You're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it because the preacher wants you to do it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. I'm doing what I'm doing for the sake of Christ, because didn't nobody die for me but Christ. He died bright early one morning, but he didn't stay dead. He rose and ascended into glory on the third day morning. He went in and came out, stepped out on resurrection ground. And when he stepped out, he said, I got all power in my hand. Not some of it, but all power in my hand. You got to make the commitment, and it's an argument in the world today. Brothers and sisters, I use the word argument. Don't argue about the word of God. Just let the word of God do your arguing for you. The scripture is the best interpretation of itself. Whatever it tells you one place, you can find it someplace else in the Bible. But the more we surrender to God, the more completely we surrender to God, the more we'll see in his word. Good God, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for all that you've done. In this little mind of mine, I can't imagine what you're going to do for me tomorrow, because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm trusting and I'm depending on you. You got to die to live. Brothers and sisters, if some part, something in your life does not die today, you better check yourself. Something in you just want to rise up. You have to let it die. But don't think because you let it die, it's not going to come back up again. If you ever cut your grass, when you cut it sometime, stop just before you cut some of it and get down and look at it. Doesn't matter what kind of grass you got. You got some kind of weed that's growing in that grass, and you can pull it up. You can cut the top of it off and it look like the other grass. But when you get down there and look at it, it's all some other kind. My neighbor made a statement, and then I took him and we walked across. He said, we have two of the prettiest lawns in our neighborhood. I said, come on. We walked out across the grass. There was a weed here, a weed there. How many of you know what pustle it is? That's what you pull up in your garden to feed hog, and it's pustle it all out in there. But when you cut it and you ride down the street and look at it, it all look like grass. But see, when you get out there in the midst of it, you find weeds. Baggett, why are you telling us that? My life looks beautiful on a Sunday morning. When you ride by and see me crossing the road with my three-piece suit and my on and my rock post on and my Thompson chain reference on my arm, my life looks good. Get out there in it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you find all kind of weeds. But Sunday, just riding by looking at it, it looks good. I'm going to leave y'all right there. But this life is not all that there is to it. Now, because the weeds are in my lawn, I don't disturb my whole lawn. I get some weed and feed. Some of it works. Put out weed and feed. And some of them weeds, you have to, thank you, Lord. You have to do like this. You have to get down on your knees. And some of them, their root goes so deep, you have to have a little spade and you dig around them and wiggle them and then pull them up. And they got a long root on them. That's the same way those sins are that you thought you had gotten rid of because you didn't do it as regular as you used to do it. You used to drink a six-pack every weekend, but now you drink a six-pack every other weekend. The sin's still there. The lying, whatever it is, not keeping your word, that sin goes deep too. And you have to get on your knees. And getting on your knees, you need to be praying while you're on your knees, pulling those weeds. Because of the commitment that you've made to Christ. When you make a commitment, you need to keep your commitment. Christ expects you to keep your commitment. He expects you to keep. Why? Because he can help you to keep it. The closer we want to get to Christ, all we have to do is just keep his word. Here it is right here. Genesis 1 to Revelation last. Right here. Right here. This word will get you to the place where you need to be. There is a life that exists beyond this life. Once a person is born into this world, he or she shall exist forever. It's just a matter of where you will go after this world, to be with God or to be away from God. Once a person loses their soul, it's lost forever. Then comes the judgment. You got to stand before God. And when you stand before God, it's one-on-one time. And you can win when you stand before God if you have lived a life that would be pleasing to him. If not, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And in hell, you will spend eternity. Brothers and sisters, so many times we camouflage hell like it's not real. The Bible says, and that's all I have, is the Bible says that it's there. I'm taking the word for, I don't want to find out for real if it's there. If I find out, that means I'm there. And I don't want to go there. Because they, from what the Bible says, it's a one-way ticket. You can't go there and return. If you get there and don't like it, you can't leave. You have to stay there. Brothers and sisters, the point of the message today is that you have to die in order to live. Will you stand? And if you don't know Christ and you're willing to die